This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. We're pleased to start your week with you listening to us. And it is a big day across the country. It is the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday. And we will be talking in the back half of the hour with Tony Clayton and Faye Williams about the legacy of the civil rights icon who logged many a moon here in Baton Rouge. He was a guy who was a fixture at the Lincoln Theater back in the day. And of course, he died at 39 in 1968 when he was assassinated in Memphis on the 4th day of April. And of course, 2 months later, Bobby Kennedy was assassinated in Los Angeles. And that was quite a year. And it still is riveting for those of us who were alive. I was 10 years old at the time. And before he was assassinated, he gave a memorable speech the night before in which he all but predicted what was coming. But of course, Dr. King is best known for his speech in Washington, D.C., August 28, 1963, called by Mike Wallace and others as the greatest speech ever delivered. And that's saying a lot, but here he is.
Even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. Dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream.
That was Martin Luther King in 1963. So we're coming up later this year, 60 years since he delivered that speech, and to be that polished, that profound, at the age of 34, was saying something about the man, and his legacy is immense. We'll talk later in the hour. We start with Elena Keegan, and she is a fixture here in Baton Rouge, and I think has emerged as Louisiana's flexibility guru, and she has a product called Spyro that is now in use in many places, including the LSU Athletic Department. It's all about flexibility. And for those of us who participate in this show, quite often we have people on, and I think it's great to be strong and fast, but usually it's impossible to do those without having some level of flexibility, and for some of us of a certain age, we can probably do a lot better. And she's here to provide some tips on how we can improve our lot in life, and you believe it all starts, Elena, with being more flexible. Why?
Absolutely, because flexibility indicates your health. The body needs circulation in order to get oxygen throughout the body. Mm-hmm. And without movement and breathing and stretching, it's difficult for the body to have proper circulation.
It's interesting that you say breathing. Why is breathing a part of flexibility?
Breathing, when you breathe, you expand the rib cage, and mm-hmm. this stretches the whole heart and lung area, and that enables the heart to circulate, every oxygen throughout the body, and oxygen is what our body needs the most. Our brain, our muscles, our digestive system, all of that needs oxygen to function properly.
877-217-5757 and talk at talklouisiana.org. Robin Dow is producing, and signature support for our program is from First Financial Tax and Accounting Services. Podcasts available anytime, day or night at wrkf.org and at talklouisiana.org. And Elena Keegan is with us. And there's already, I think, a photo on Facebook of her showing me her product called Spyro. And she didn't develop this overnight. She's been doing this for a little while. You were teaching what amounted to yoga many years ago at Episcopal, weren't you?
Yes. As soon as I finished my training at Integral Yoga Institute in Virginia, I came home on a Sunday, and on Monday, I started teaching a daily class at Episcopal throughout the PE department where the students had a yoga class Monday through Thursday. And then on Friday, we covered health topics ranging from positive thinking, breathing, diet, self-care, all of that. And it was fabulous. I did that. I had two classes every day, and I had them for 9 weeks. And I still have those students from Episcopal that I run into, and they say, I still remember everything you taught me about breathing and stretching. So that was really great.
Well, Elena has a background as an athlete, as a younger person, and as a cheerleader. I'm sure that gave you a base to work with, didn't it?
Absolutely. We had to, you know, cheerleading is a sport, and we did. We had to, you know, stay fit and flexible and to do all of our tumbling and jumping. So, yes, I've been into the fitness since I was a child. I also did gymnastics, and I played basketball as a child. So
you had a base to work with, and a lot of people don't have that base. What do you say to people who, you know, like yesterday I was on an elevator with a guy, and I hate to say it, he was so large that his shoes were untied, and I'm sure they were untied because he couldn't tie them himself. Do people like those, the person I just mentioned, do they have any hope?
Absolutely. It is never too late to start taking care of your own health. I like to say our health is our first wealth. I think that was a Ben Franklin quote. Mm-hmm. Our health is our first wealth, and it's literally in our own hands. And with Spiro, because it helps you stretch, you link the Spiro around your foot and your hand, and it helps you stretch and move your body and get it more flexible and limber and, you know, all kinds of benefits.
How did Spiro evolve? It's a device. It's not a big thing at all, but I worked with it a little before the show, and I can see how you can stretch every part of your body with this device. How did you develop it?
Yeah, so Spiro does make it easier to stretch. It makes it easier to stretch for everyone, regardless of their age or their fitness level. Whether you're a seasoned athlete or you're in a chair or bedridden even, you can stretch with Spiro. And the way that it evolved is I've been teaching yoga for 27 years, and I would see people come and go to class, and 100% of the people that I talk to when I tell them that I teach yoga, they say, I can't do yoga. I'm not flexible. And I always say, if you can breathe, you can do yoga. And so I would see people come and go, and I think they felt insecure or nervous about coming to a yoga class. So during the pandemic, I thought, you know, I really want to create something for people who are stuck at home to keep moving and stretching so that they don't lose their good health and flexibility. Yeah. So I started with garden kneelers, making a prototype for something to connect the hands and the feet. And yes, people use straps, but I have found straps to be cumbersome and difficult to use, especially for those with disabilities, whether they're arthritis in the hand or some people don't even have a hand. And so I created this really easy, elegantly simple product that makes it easier to link the hand and the foot. And so I made prototypes. I started using them in my classes, and everybody loved them. But it wasn't until I actually designed and got a mold and started manufacturing this Spiro with EVA foam that it really, it was such a great product. This foam provides the perfect resistance that you can use, squishy, yet it's durable. So, yeah.
And it's Spiro, like Spiro Agnew, the vice president who resigned in disgrace under Richard Milhouse.
That's
Nixon.
Spiro. This is Spiro.
Spelled the same, though. A
yes,
name?
Yes. Yes. Spiro is Latin for to breathe.
There you go. Yeah. There you go. And Elena knows her stuff. And sometimes the simplest things are right in front of our eyes, and we don't implement them until long after you think we would. And this is a fairly simple gizmo, as they say, but Elena has shown me some things that I think are applicable to being more flexible, and that's the root of longevity as far as being physically fit, as my hero Jack LaLanne used to say. Jack LaLanne, by the way, was not a big advocate of running. He didn't think running was good in long distances because it wears down the body, and this is all about preserving the body, and the LSU Athletic Department is implementing this as well, and we'll talk with Elena about that. And again, your number 877-217-5757. But a listener, you mentioned yoga immediately. I got a question from This is Holly in the Garden District asking the difference between hot and regular yoga. What's the difference?
Okay, well, hot yoga is a class that's in a heated room. And so
really heated room.
Very
right?
heated. I forget how hot they make it. Probably, 100 degrees maybe. I'm not sure, but warmth and heat is conducive to loosening up the muscles and improves the circulation. And it really is about that circulation. Hot yoga is heated in a heated room, and regular yoga, there's all kinds of different
Were you a hot yoga person or a regular yoga person?
I'm definitely a regular yoga person.
Remember Rod Masterson? Did you
yes,
ever know him?
Yes.
Yeah, he was a hot yoga guy.
Yeah, Bikram yoga, yes.
Yeah, I went once to him, and he almost killed me, and I was much younger then.
Yes.
Ex-Marine, and he was strength coach at LSU.
Okay.
And he did some innovative things in his day, and they were not received well, including, it's hard to believe, but there was a time when weightlifting was considered taboo for athletes, said it would destroy their flexibility, but we know different now. We're going to pick up on flexibility with Spyro and Elena Keegan when we return. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Robin Dow is our producer, and it is MLK Day, and happy holiday. Many, of course, have this day off, and I hope you're pondering, as many are, the importance of Dr. Martin Luther King in American life. He may have been the most significant person in the second half of the 20th century in this country, and he gave his life for his cause in 1968 at the age of 39. As Jesse Ventura, who used to be a frequent guest on this show, said, most Americans who were assassinated were talking peace, not hate, and they paid for it with the ultimate sacrifice. 877-217-5757. But if we're alive, it's important to be like Jesus and be in shape. You never see a fat Jesus. I think Jesus could bench press his weight. And Elena Keegan has a way for us to be more flexible, which is where it generally starts. If we can't move, we can't do much of anything. And of course, if we're moving at really high levels, which I must say I'm not the most flexible person in the world because of age and arthritis and injury, but I'd like to be more flexible because I'd like to keep my strength into my 70s and 80s and 90s if I'm fortunate to live that long. And she has something called Spyro, and you can find out much more about this Spyro, S-P-I-R-O, stretch.com. And her work has been taken note of by none other than Scott Woodward, the LSU athletic director of the athletic department in several sports, is now using this. And what are the sports?
Currently, I'm happy to say that we have some female athletes, the Lady Tigers, playing softball and golf and volleyball. And even LSU women's basketball has ordered some Spyros, so they're using them in their athletic training rooms.
Yeah, and Elaine is a proud graduate of Hammond High, the alma mater of Kim Mulkey, who has her team in the top five and won three national titles in other places at Baylor. And she has the Lady Tigers moving on up. But flexibility is key to athletics. I would think this would be extremely helpful to the football team.
Absolutely. I'm waiting for that open door, the door to open for me to introduce that to the athletic trainers for the football team.
These guys now, some of them weigh around 400 pounds. And back in the day, John Ed Bradley, my great friend who was an all-conference center at LSU, he was playing center at about 235 pounds. Now you've got centers who are 385 pounds. What happened? And can people that large be flexible enough to be efficient on the football field?
Absolutely. It's a practice. It's something you have to do every day. You can't just stretch once and expect your flexibility and your range of motion or your core strength to improve. So yes, and this is a really easy way to do it. Like I said, straps can be difficult to use. They're hard to modulate. This, you literally just loop it. It's so lightweight and stretchy. You loop it around your foot, and it provides a really satisfying stretch to any part of your body.
So you're exercising both arms and legs, correct?
Correct. You can pinpoint any area that's got a blockage and kind of work there and breathe through it. You know, if you've got pain in your body, that's telling you that oxygen is not getting there. And you need to open that space, stretch it open, breathe into it, get things flowing so that the body can get in there and heal it. Your body's a healing mechanism if you let it, if you give it what it needs, which is oxygen and movement.
Well, you practice what you preach. I can see that, and You've done this for a lifetime, but how much can a person catch up when they're in their 50s and they just get started? Is it a case in which you can get back to a level that you were when you were in your 20s and 30s, or is that impossible?
No, it is not impossible. Research shows that the body is incredibly resilient and adaptive, but we have to do it. No one can move our bodies for us. So if you incorporate just 5 minutes a day, and it doesn't even have to be every day, if you incorporate a little bit of this work regularly, you can regain your flexibility, release, decompress the body that where it's been compressed and tightened. Absolutely. I'm 100%. You can do that, but we have to do it, right?
Well, and I would think if you move a lot and if you do this every day, do you do it more than once or just once a day?
No, I do it throughout the day.
All day long. You do it at your office?
Yes. I have one in my car.
This device, it's a small device.
I have one in my car. I travel with it. I don't travel without it for sure, but I also have one next to my bed. I tell people to leave it next to their bed as a reminder. Because the stretch gurus say that the best time to stretch is just before bed because it resets your muscles and your nervous system. And then you go to sleep. It promotes better sleep. The benefits of stretching are numerous. Not only do you become more flexible, but you increase your strength, your balance. You feel calmer. It can relieve joint pain. It gives you energy. It promotes sleep. And it improves just about every function in the body.
Here's a question from a listener asking if you do other things. Do you still do yoga, for example, to do this? Or are you just solely doing your Spiro stuff?
Oh, no, I absolutely do yoga. I teach yoga. I teach about 5 classes a week. I teach over at Grace Yoga in Highland. I walk every day. And my favorite way to keep fit is, besides Spiro stretching, is rebounding. I am an avid rebounder. Like almost just about every day, I am jumping on my rebounder for at least 15 to 30 minutes.
All right. When we're not talking about basketball rebounding. We're talking about
a mini trampoline.
Yeah.
Yes.
Really?
I have
jump
one in
up
my
and
house.
Down on a trampoline, right?
I jump. I dance. I have a good time. It's really
Does everybody
good.
In the family do it too?
My children do.
Yeah?
My children
They're jumping
do.
Up yes. and down?
My daughter asked for one for Christmas this
really?
Year, so
really?
She got a rebounder. It's yes. It's great because you can do it. Yeah. It's really easy.
That sounds like a fun time at the Keegan House. So, so you're doing all the right things, and I think in our community, like many other places, particularly in the South, we're overweight. Louisiana, by the way, is no longer the fattest state in America. In the latest report from the CDC, we're down to the 9th fattest state. So we're making some progress, but we've got a ways to go. And despite the fact that the weather generally is conducive for getting outside 365 days a year. Most people don't want to get out in extreme heat or extreme cold, but this is something you can do indoors if you don't want to go out and face the elements.
You know, Jim, I'm so glad that you mentioned Louisiana's health because I also work on Well Ahead Louisiana, which is Louisiana's health wellness initiative. And so I'm very aware of the statistics of the high rates of chronic disease in our state. And that's another inspiration as to why I created Spiro, because people have put their own health outside themselves, leaving it to doctors or the healthcare system. And we cannot have a healthcare system without a self-care system. And so you can go to selfcaresystem.com and it will point you to Spiro.
Okay.
Because I find this to be somewhat of a self-care system.
To spirostretch.com as well. But, you know, these airports now, when we see people and they're dragging their bags on the ground with wheels, you know, that didn't happen until 1990.
Wow.
Somebody thought of that. Think of that. Up until 1990, that did not happen. We'd already had a person on the moon over two decades earlier, and it took that long. This is a relatively simple device, and did this happen overnight, or was something you tweaked through the years?
It happened. I didn't start working on it until 2019, 2020. But I've been teaching, and I see where a lot of people are flexible and they can do yoga, but there are way more people that need to be moving and stretching that don't do it because they don't feel like they can. So yoga has not been accessible to them. So I wanted to make something that made it accessible to everyone.
Well, I commend you for what you're doing, and I hope people will take advantage of anything that will help their well-being. Yeah. And this, based on an initial review from yours truly, seems like a reasonable and accessible way to improve our lot in life. And even for those who think they're in pretty good shape, Stretching and flexibility are key to longevity, and if you can't move around, you're probably not going to be able to run fast or lift heavy weights. So this is important for everybody. Do more men than women take advantage of this, or have you been able to get a grasp of it?
They all do. Of course, there's probably more women in yoga, but I teach in the work site as well. And so, yes, the men are really enjoying this because they feel especially stiff. But they can do something about it. I want everyone to know that regardless of how stiff you think you are, your body is flexible and adaptable. If you start moving just a little bit, 5 minutes, the benefits and the feel good factor are immediate. Our tagline is love at first stretch.
Love at first stretch. Well, congratulations on making a name not only here but elsewhere. And I would hope the LSU football team will soon be taking advantage of this. And we'll be back to wrap it up with Elena Keegan after this. If you'd like to get in under the wire, we might take a call or two. 877-217-5757. Back after this. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana on MLK Day. And in just a moment, we'll hear from Tony Clayton and Faye Williams. Surveying the legacy, the immense legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King, who died in 1968. Dr. King was 39 years old. He would have been 94 yesterday, born January 15th, 1929, Atlanta, Georgia, died April 4th, 1968, Memphis. With us to wrap up the discussion about stretching and Spiro is Elena Keegan, and we have a few folks waiting, and hopefully we get Elena back. But which one should we take, Robin? She says we're going to Mustafa in Mid-City. Mustafa, you're on with Elena.
Yes.
Yes, what's up?
Thank you. First off, Jim, I want to wish you a belated happy birthday. And I also think, I know you addressed this previously, but if Elena is really good at rebounding, then I think she definitely wants to work with LSU's men's basketball team.
All right.
That's great.
Maybe they need a trampoline, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. They lost the game by 40 points the other night. But it's spirostretch.com. Elena, congratulations on making advances in fitness here, there, and beyond. And keep going.
Thank you, Jim.
Take care. And with us now are Tony Clayton and Faye Williams. Tony, of course, longtime lawyer, now the DA across the river. He is in Port Allen, West Baton Rouge Parish. And Faye Williams, of course, is an activist of note. National Congress of Urban Women is her group. She's been the president for many years and has been on Ebony Magazine's list of the most influential African Americans in this country for several iterations. 877-217-5757. They are here to talk about Dr. Martin Luther King. He was assassinated when he was 39 years old and conceivably could be alive today at 94, but he is not. And despite the fact that his time on the earth was small in relative terms, he made an impact that is everlasting. And here he was on the eve of his death in 1968. He was in Memphis to be present for a discussion about sanitation workers and their rights. And here he was describing what he knew was the likely outcome of his death, a violent end.
Well, I don't know what will happen now. We've got some difficult days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop. I don't mind. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And He's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over, and I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. My eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
That was Dr. Martin Luther King on April 3rd, 1968. Tony Clayton was a little boy when Dr. King was assassinated. He's now the district attorney in the 18th Judicial District in Louisiana. And good morning to you, sir. Your thoughts about the legacy of Martin Luther King.
Well, good morning, Jim. And how are you doing, Ms. Williams? First time I was able to vote, I voted for Ms. Williams. She ran for Congress in my district.
Thank you.
But I guess that's indirectly because of what Dr. King stood for. But more directly, Jim, toward your question, I believe his legacy, the input from that, or the output, I should say, from that today, I think we as a race of people have come a long way. If you look at the statistics, there are about 41 million blacks in the United States, about 15 million black households, when you count in the children, the teenagers, et cetera. But there are about 2 million black millionaires, 1.79 million to be exact. We're the second group of millionaires in the country. Of course, whites have a substantial lead. The Asians are almost tied with blacks, and Hispanics come in the fourth place with 7%. I say that to say this. I'm elected in a 70% white district. And I believe when King talked about judging a person by his character, those folks who supported me, and I'm not white, but they overwhelmingly supported me. And I think it's because of my experience. My mantra was experience matters. I started off as a person who prosecuted traffic tickets, went up to misdemeanors, felonies, and murders. And I worked hard. And I think folks judge me by the fact that he worked hard, he deserved it, and he should be the district attorney. So that's a direct example of what King meant, or Dr. King meant, when he said judge people by their character. So my hard work and my experience, not necessarily my race, mattered with me being elected district attorney over there. But I'll back up from that and be quiet and see what else my colleague has to say from that.
All right. Well, if you'd like to join the conversation, 877-217-5757. And Dr. Fay Williams, of course, was a young adult when Dr. King was assassinated. And he was a person who had been on the scene for a long time. And people may not know, but he survived another assassination attempt in 1958 when he was 29. He was stabbed in a department store in New York City, and the knife went so deep that if he had sneezed, he would have died. But emergency surgery saved him, and he knew, you can tell in the last speech, that he knew that his life was going to end violently. And as I stated earlier, Fay Williams, for those in America who were killed by assassins' bullets, many of them were advocates of peace, not war, and yet they died. What do you make of Dr. King and why he died, how he died, and his legacy after his death?
Well, first of all, as you said, he died violently, and we've still got too much violence going on in our country. But we have to look at the good side of it, too, and say that his work continues to inspire the social justice movement, not just for black people, but for so many others who've been brought into the movement now who need help in this country. I was so pleased when I woke up this morning and I saw so many messages from so many members of Congress and others, but one that was really a pleasant surprise was from the mayor of New Orleans, and the mayor of New Orleans happens to be a black woman. So let's say that that's the kind of progress that we have seen so many times. We've seen so many black people appointed to administrations such as the Biden administration. We've seen a black president, but you know, when we look at the things that have happened that are negative, we can't get stuck on those. We have to do what Dr. King inspired us to do, even though he lost his life. But for us to be fearless and to move.
Now, take them one at a time. I think that's noise from Tony's phone that's coming across when Fay is talking. So, Fay, I'm sorry, but you drifted away on us, but you were in full bloom and discussing the legacy of Dr. King and the reaction today, 50, 5 years almost since his death of people today who fully appreciate his contribution to life as we know it today. Your thoughts as we rejoin you.
Yes, I was talking about Dr. King still being influential, that his work is still inspiring so many of us to not be afraid to step out there and do the things we need to have done. And I mentioned that one of the first messages I read this morning was from Mayor Cantrell of New Orleans. There was a time when we didn't have many people speaking out. But I looked at my messages last night and today. They're from all kinds of people all over the world. They're from many of our members of Congress who were afraid to stand up at the time that he actually died. But now they feel free to come out, not just for black people, but for so many other people who are underserved, who are, you know, not treated fairly in this country. And I think that has added strength to what Dr. King taught us. Now, many of us are beginning to see Dr. King's life still has meaning. Not long ago, I was in Morocco, and I saw in the office of the mayor a memorial to Dr. King. We see memorials all over to Dr. King now. People are not afraid to stand up. They are wanting to make Dr. King's dream come true, but we know we are far from it when we look at what happened in our own Congress last week. But we have to keep on working and not give up. We must continue to reflect on his dream and determine how we can move it forward and not just depend upon somebody else to do it. The realization of his dream is what can make America greater.
All right. Well, King was the first president of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, which put into practice the tactics of nonviolent protest, strategically choosing methods and places in which protests were carried out, the bus boycott in Baton Rouge, the bus boycott in Montgomery, and there were a number of dramatic standoffs with segregationist authorities who sometimes used violent means to subdue those who were protesting nonviolently. And it is hard in our time, Tony Clayton, to think of law enforcement officers being essentially with those who were breaking the law, but it's a fact of life in the American South that was sometimes the case. Your observations about what the way it used to be in the times that were during the Jim Crow years.
Well, I mean, that was horrible. In 1969, I was one of the first classes to integrate West Baton Rouge school system. And I'll tell you that they put me and one other African-American in a class of 28 students, and we were deemed the gifted and talented kids. But I'll go on to tell you that I was the only one to finish college and to go on to get a professional degree. Most of my African-American friends took the trade school route and all that. And I say this because as a result of that violence.
Okay, we do have to take a break, but we'll pick up with Tony Clayton and his compelling story after this. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us on what is a holiday in many parts of our world, and for good reason. Didn't happen until the 1980s. President Reagan was in office, and he, of course, had a tortured past of his own involving race, but he was the president when Dr. King's birthday became a national holiday, celebrated on the Monday closest to his birthday, and yesterday would have been number 94 for Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And 55 years after his death, his legacy is remarkable. Tony Clayton and Faye Williams are here to remember him, and if you'd like to participate on the air, 877-217-5757. Tony Clayton, you were saying 1969, you integrated school in Fort Allen, and that was a year after Dr. King was assassinated, and you were commenting that even though you were in the gifted and talented group with another black person, most of the kids in that school, those of color, they did not go on to college. They took other ways of living, and let's hope successfully, and I suspect they were successful in their own way. But you went the distance. You got a law degree, and now you're the district attorney, and for many years a prominent lawyer and prosecutor. What was the motivation, and what impact, if any, did Dr. King have on that?
And so we were talking about some of the violent acts that were projected upon people of color back then, which forced the courts to integrate the schools so a young man like me can take a rock out of the back door of Cane Fields or Brule and polish it into a gym. But it's because of what folk endured and what we've learned from that a guy like me was able to make it through. But and I'll say to you that a lot of credit has to go to both blacks and whites. Just as Dr. Williams said, Dr. King's legacy, if we had not gotten to this dream yet, we're definitely on the interstate and we're traveling pretty fast toward it. And we will get there, just as he said. But I'll tell you that I've traveled the world and I would not want to live in any other country other than the country that I'm in now, the United States. So we've learned a lot from what he taught us, and we still have a little bit more, a whole lot more to learn. But for the most part, I would have to give my country a passing grade in terms of where we've come from where we were.
But Faye Williams, I'm sure you would be the first to say we still have a lot of miles to travel.
Absolutely. But what we do have, I think, are more people other than black people working for justice for black people, and we're working for justice for others. And so I am encouraged because I see so many Gen Zs who are winning. We have an 18-year-old who won mayor in Arkansas. We have a 25-year-old in Congress now. These are things that were unheard of when Dr. King was with us. On the other hand, we have a lot of work to do. When we look at the chaos we saw in our Congress that runs our country last week, we have to pray for them. We have to be there. We have to keep talking to them, keep showing them the goodness of what Dr. King predicted and that it's still not here, and that they can be so helpful if they will, because there's so many people propping them up now and helping them to become all that they can be. But we have to remember, we're still not there yet. We have so many crises around the country, the water crisis in Jackson, Mississippi, diminishing democracy all across, not just in the United States, but across the world. The January 6th insurrection, these are things that should not be, and most of us need to know that we should be standing up and not waiting for somebody else to help us understand what this country, what this world needs. Step out there and do it. Dr. King did it. He knew of the possibility that he would die. We must go even if we know that we might die doing the right thing.
Now, in the 11 states of the Southeastern Conference, there are 22 U.S. senators, and only two are Democrats, and one is the black man from Georgia who's the heir to the Ebenezer Baptist Church position that Dr. King had. He's the director there, and he's the head pastor, Raphael Warnock, and the other Democrat is John Ossoff, also of Georgia, and the other 20 senators in the SEC are all from the Republican ranks, and most of them are winning races by huge margins, as Cassidy and Kennedy have done in Louisiana. What's happened to politics, particularly in the South, Faye Williams? We'll start with you, with blacks largely voting Democratic and Republicans now overwhelmingly, or whites overwhelmingly voting Republican. What are your thoughts?
Well, it's unfortunate that some people will never learn, but the people you're talking about, let's hope that we'll continue to teach them, not in an angry or mean way, but we will teach them that what they are doing is, working against people, working against human beings. And, one of the other things, I guess, that I am seeing that's encouraging is that even the politicians who have voted wrong so many times, their daughters, their granddaughters, are beginning to associate in these movements to make things better. Some of their daughters and granddaughters are marrying, intermarrying, and bringing in new ideas to their grandparents and their great-grandparents. Yeah, we are still in a period of challenge and controversy, but the ultimate measure of a man, as Dr. King said, and I'm sure he meant a woman too, is what they do, in moments of controversy. And so today, we have all this controversy, but I hope that we can teach the people without anger, and without meanness, that there are other ways, there is a better way, and that if they truly believe in this country, they will be active in making it better rather than doing what I'm hearing is going on in many of the red states, and that is not even listening to the words of Dr. King or people like him. They're defying the opportunity of librarians and others to teach about Dr. King in their schools. But I hope that teachers will continue to stand up and to teach children what they need to know so that even if their grandparents don't get it, that the children who are coming on, the Gen Zs, will get it.
Tony, do you want to respond a bit on this?
You know, I think one must look to John Bel Edwards when you talk about the landscape in these southern states. He's a Democrat, as we all know, but he's pro-gun, anti-abortion, which is the mainstream of what folks think. So to me, John Bel has been, if not the best, probably the best governor we've ever had in this state. I mean, look what this man has done. He's leaving billions and billions of dollars in surplus, and he's a Democrat. So I think it's all about education. I think, just as Dr. Williams says, as more people become more exposed, then folks learn. On a national level, I really think that Congress is dysfunctional, and I think watching CNN and Fox project the polarization that we go through. But when you get down on a local level, it really doesn't matter to folks. It just, they vote the person that they believe is in line with their thoughts. So I think eventually it would get better in terms of some 50-50, but you have to look at the man. And if you look at John Bel Edwards, then you can see that Democrats can get elected, but their voting patterns or their philosophy has to be in tune with their constituents.
All right. Dan downtown. Dan, you're on with Faye and with Tony. Hi, Dan.
Hi. If either of you has visited the Memphis assassination site, were you as surprised as I was at just how easy a shot it was to kill Dr. King?
Certainly he didn't have much protection and just went out on the balcony and got shot in the head, and that was it. But James Earl Ray, he was at large for a while. And some believe, of course, that he didn't do it. Others believe that he was part of a conspiracy. Tony and Faye, your thoughts?
I'll tell you. Well, again, I believe he. Sorry, go
ahead, Tony.
Go first. I yield.
Okay. I was going to say that there are so many of our leaders, however, who are out. You know, Dick Gregory was one of those who never had security, said what he needed to say, and didn't get harmed. So we can't allow that fear of the possibility of our getting shot or getting injured to keep us from doing what we need to do. I mean, obviously, we have to be sensible in terms of things that we can do to protect ourselves, but we can't stop it when it, you know, when there is something that must be done out there. I know that I've been on many peace missions and others, knowing when I went there that there was a possibility of some danger, but it didn't happen. You went on and you said what you had to say, you did what you had to do, and sometimes it has made a difference. So we have to think about that we can make a difference when we try, even though there is a danger.
All right, Tony?
You know, I agree with the caller. I visited the site. I was there several weeks ago in Memphis. My son goes to school out there at Rhodes College. And that was an easy shot. He was walking on the balcony. But I don't know how much protection we can give a person when another person has it on his mind that he's going to hurt someone. So I wasn't around back then. I don't know how much protection he was given, but it seems like this James Earl Ray guy had it on his mind that he was going to kill him, and he executed him. So yes, it was wide open. It was a clear shot, and I don't know why he wasn't afforded much more protection, and if that protection could have stopped him from killing him.
All right, Mitchell in Sherwood. Mitchell, you'll be our final caller. Please be brief. You're on. Hi, Mitchell.
Dr. King had a dream, but he really had a reality. And the reality is the words he came through saying out the words of God, out the Bible, that he didn't see no color. He just saw people that was in despair that needed help to help them be righteous. Now, as far as I've given this country a grade, I give it a D. Ain't nothing changed. We went from the white folks killing us to we killing ourselves.
All right. Thank you, Mitchell, and you'll get the last word. And thanks to Tony Clayton and Faye Williams. Always a pleasure to visit with both of you. Hope you have a good day and appreciate your time this morning. Thank you, Tony. Thank you, Faye.
Thank you, Jim.
And we'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. For Robin Dow, I'm Jim Inkster. Signature support from First Financial Tax and Accounting Services. Stay safe and stay tuned.